Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us for Lifetime's Q&A session for Hopeful Adoptive Parents. My name is Kim King. I'm one of the Adoptive Family Coordinators. I am co-hosting with Heather Featherston, Lifetime's Director, and Libby Denniston, who has set everything up for us and is working behind the scenes to answer any questions she sees that we're maybe not able to get to during the live broadcast this evening. We appreciate you joining us and taking time out of your evening, and we hope that this is helpful and encouraging, time well spent, and we encourage you to let us know your questions. The webinar format is a great opportunity to interact with us, give your feedback. Oftentimes in a group setting like this, we're able to even share some suggestions from the listeners. Maybe adoptive parents might have tips of their own to add to the conversation, and so that is all helpful as we come together as a community here for our webinar, our question and answer session. For those of you who may be brand new to getting to know us at Lifetime Adoption, the very first step is to complete the online application. You can find that online at lifetimeadoption.com. More specifically, you can find the application at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. One of our commonly, frequently asked questions is there a cost for the application? It is actually a free application. So that way, it does not cost you anything to explore further and find out if we can help you in your adoption. So I encourage those of you who have not already done so, take a few minutes, fill out the online application at lifetimeadoption.com, and that way we can start to get to know you and answer questions specifically tailored to what your needs and adoption path and your characteristics are. You can also join us on Facebook at facebook.com/open.adoption. That's facebook.com/open.adoption. The lovely Libby is popping up some links to these for easy reference if you are live on the webinar today. Thank you, Libby. You can also call in with questions, 1-800-923-6784. That is our answer line. And you can email adopt@lifetimeadoption.com. That's adopt@lifetimeadoption.com. We encourage you to share with us what your needs are, your questions, anything on your mind that you want to discuss with us as a possible adoption professional. We encourage you to reach out and engage with us in the conversation so that we can be a support to you and a good resource to you. Of course, if you're already in a relationship with us here at Lifetime, welcome back to tonight's webinar. You probably already know who your coordinator is, but if you're not quite sure, just reach out through any of those methods of contact and we'll connect you with the person who is your main point of contact, and we all work as a team here, so we'll be able to get you the help that you need. So thank you all for joining us, and Heather, Lifetime's director, I appreciate you also being with us tonight. That's a nice special treat.
Thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
So we have a question that someone popped up, and I encourage everybody to type in their questions while we're listening. This question says, how soon after completing the application will we hear from Lifetime? What would you say is a good expectation in the process once they've applied? Then what?
Well, it kind of depends. Usually you should hear something within the next 24 to 72 hours on a business day. I mean, if you submit an application on Friday, you're not going to probably get an answer on Saturday. But, you know, anywhere 24 to 7, so really 1 to 3 days, kind of depending on how many applications we're currently working with. And what you will probably hear is that your application has gone to review, or there will be a request for more information. One of the things that our review committee does when we're looking at applications is we evaluate qualities and characteristics in your family and kind of see how those line up with openings we have. Because Lifetime's program is based on birth mother's choices, we really want to be sure that you kind of fit a need that birth mothers are currently requesting. Let me give you an example of that. Families sometimes that have a lot of kids, and that's their life, that's what they love to do, they consider adopting, to help more children, and they may apply where they have 6 or 7 children at home already and be eager for another one. That's wonderful. It's probably not the best fit for Lifetime, and we'll share that with you because most of the birth mothers we're working with are looking for smaller families. Every now and then we have one that wants a large family, so we may have a couple large families, but it's not something we can take a lot of because we just the request isn't there. So like I say, sometimes you may get requests from our applications department for more information on some of the answers in your application so that it can be reviewed properly. Another example of an answer that you may be asked for more on is if you indicated that you are specifically only open to a Caucasian baby, nothing else. You'll get a question just to confirm that. So just so we understand, that means that you're only open to a birth mother who says she's Caucasian, the father is Caucasian, nothing else, no other mix, no Native American, just to be sure that we can give you an adequate review. So again, we're looking at your characteristics and what you're looking for. So like I say, within the first 1 to 3 days, you should hear that yes, your application's being reviewed or that we need more information.
Yes, and there really is, like Heather is illustrating, there's not really a cookie cutter approach to what you can expect other than a timeline within a few days, a day to 3 days, maybe 5 business days at the most. Once you've submitted that application, you will know that you successfully submitted it when you see an email immediately pop into your inbox or maybe your spam folder, so keep an eye on your email folders, sharing more about Lifetime's program. That's an automated response. Once our applications coordinator is actually handling the processing of your unique application, she's going to email you personally from her. And you may get a phone call as well. But just keep an eye on your phone and email. Oftentimes, people miss our phone call because our caller ID comes up as unknown. It doesn't say Lifetime Adoption.
That's right.
And why is that, Heather? Can you share a little bit more
Sure.
about that?
Sure. Our outgoing numbers are blocked, and it is for the safety and security of women who may have called us to inquire about our services. Sometimes they may be in an abusive relationship. Sometimes they may be teenagers and mom doesn't know they're pregnant. So we don't want to call them with Lifetime Adoption popping up in the caller ID or a number that someone can simply Google. So we do try to do that, like I say, for the protection of the women we're working with. So definitely keep an eye and families who are working with us, they know that if they get calls from a blocked number, it's usually, or not usually, it often is Lifetime. You may also get calls or texts from some of our coordinators who have cell phones as part of their jobs. But by and large, if you get a call from our office, it is on a blocked number.
That's right. And we do have some limited lines where we can unblock our caller ID, but
Yes.
that's very limited. If we're just picking up the phone and giving you a quick call, it's probably going to show up as blocked. So just be aware of that. And as I like to explain to families, there's always a history and a reason behind everything that we do here at Lifetime. Nothing is just because. It's all for a specific reason. And it goes back to the detail and the thought that Marty Caldwell, our founder, has put into our program and continues to, develop even more details and features of our program and the services we offer. So I know our caller ID has been blocked ever since when I started at Lifetime about 12 and a half years ago. It's just always been that way. And I really like the detail that Lifetime puts into, the care and the compassion toward birth moms and just helping adoptive parents also understand what we do and why we
That's
do
right.
everything a certain
And you know,
way.
Kim, one of the other questions that I hear a lot is Asking why our application is free. And it's really the same reason you just stated. It's that care and concern. We understand that adoptive families or prospective adoptive families usually are limited by two factors. One is time, the other is money. And we really want to honor our commitment to only work with you if we feel as though we can help you. So we don't want to waste your time. We don't want to take your money if we don't feel as though you match the criteria of what birth mothers are asking for, are choosing, are looking for. Because it's one of those things that you know you're limited. So we want to give you an accurate idea based on the characteristics of your family and what you're looking for. And sometimes we get some upset families that are very concerned that they were not accepted into Lifetime's program. But we move forward and try to share with them is that, you know, just because we can't help you doesn't mean it's not a judgment on your ability to be great adoptive parents. It's just that you may not match an opening we have today.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes people think that they're applying for adoption in general and that if we don't have an opening and we send them, you know, a letter that says, hey, you know, we just don't have an opening available, I'm sorry, we cannot move forward, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they take that as a personal rejection of adoption, mm-hmm. that adoption mm-hmm. is rejecting them as a whole and that they're not qualified, that there's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. But it's like Heather said, it's not a personal rejection, it's just due to a limited openings. It doesn't mean that no one can help you, and it doesn't mean that you can't be, that you're not qualified to adopt at all.
Right. And you know, can we even look at some of the answers on the application to help decide which of Lifetime's programs would be best for families? We have our Adoption mm-hmm. for Life consultation service that often, you know, families who say they have a very limited budget, that's going to be a better option for, because you know, it's if your budget's limited, then you need a program that can be successful for that. You know, if you have a larger budget, then you may fit into one of Lifetime's other programs. But so we're doing a full review not only on your ability to adopt, but also on your on the suitability for the openings at Lifetime, and really to determine if we can help you, how can we help you.
Yes, and when it comes to sharing your income or your adoption budget with us, we don't jump to any conclusions based on whatever box you chose. Mm-hmm. We typically explore further. It's just information that you're sharing with us that helps us kind of understand a starting point where you may be coming from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, the Adoption for Life program, it's our coaching program, and, you know, I know families that really prefer that, and they have a very large budget, but they just like having more control over the different parts of their adoption.
Right,
so,
and that's what it provides, is it provides a mm-hmm. lot more control for someone who really wants to be more hands-on, who wants to play a more mm-hmm. active role, and has the time and the ability to do so.
Mm-hmm. Great, yes. So, again, exploring further to help you determine what is the best fit for your family, in addition to just looking from our perspective and not offering something that is going to put you in a position not to be successful, mm-hmm. But to offer tips and tools and programs and opportunities that fall in line with what you are looking for in growing your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So someone just asked, we do not have children, and we have had infertility problems. Is this something birth moms tend to prefer?
That's a really good question. I wouldn't say they prefer it. I would say as they're looking and considering families, it's natural to feel more sympathetic towards someone who can't have a biological child. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things that oftentimes families who have been dealing with infertility find that they are chosen faster. For that reason, at Lifetime, we limit the number of families who are choosing to adopt for a reason other than infertility, because it can take longer. So that's one of those things. I hate to say that's a good thing in adoption, but it is. It means that that is probably going to be more attractive to birth mothers. Now, I'm going to give a little tip. I usually don't give in these calls, Kim, but one of the things that's really important when you're preparing your information for a birth mother is that you let her know your reason for adopting, but you don't go overboard, especially with infertility. You know, she doesn't need to know, well, we tried 6 IVF cycles and none of them were successful and it was so hard and we ran out of money, so we saved for adoption. You don't need to go through that detail. You know, keep it positive, keep it uplifting. But definitely, you do want to share with a birth mother what's brought you to adoption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely it helps her understand where you're coming from. And I think birth moms like to know you have a healthy reason for uh-huh. coming to adoption, that you've decided, the bottom line, you just want to be parents.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So she can check that worry off of her list, and that's all it's about, really, yeah. So she can get to know you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes families wonder, well, if we're creating a profile for a birth mom to look at, what information do we get to know about that birth mom? Do birth moms create profiles for us?
That would be great if they did, but typically they don't. Every now and then someone will put together quite a bit of information, but in Lifetime's program, what you get about the birth mother is what we have. Meaning that everything we know and have received, such as the paperwork she's filled out, her medical records, the information she shared about the father of the baby. Occasionally, they will provide photos of themselves. You know, anything we have, we share with you. More importantly, is going to be what you gather from the relationship you build with her. At Lifetime, we're very strong proponents of open adoption. And the stronger the relationship that you create prior to the adoption, the more information you're going to have, not just now, but down the road. For instance, if your adopted son, you know, needs a bone marrow transplant, you know, has a diagnosis that's what the doctor says, and says, you know, you need to have your family tested. Well, he's adopted. You know, if you have a good relationship with a birth mother, even if it's limited at this point, say your son's 5 years old and you send her an update once a year, at least there's a connection where you can, you know, contact her and say, here's what's going on. Is there anyone in, are you or anyone in your family willing to be tested to see if you're a match? Those are important connections to have. So, kind of getting back to the question, Kim, we give you everything we have, which usually does include the medical records and the paperwork and all the information we've gathered and that we've kind of interpreted. Sometimes it's what people don't say that you can kind of interpret some of what may be going on. But we give you all of that, and then you have the opportunity to speak with her if she wants to talk, and usually the birth mothers do. And then you can ask questions. We're still here, especially if you need us to ask a few more difficult questions. But yeah, we want to be sure that this is a great fit for you and your family, and then on the birth mother side, that it's a really good fit for her as well.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, adoptive parents ask this question, are birth moms drug tested? Or another way sometimes people ask is, how do you monitor birth moms?
Yeah, that is a good question. We ask birth mothers from the initial phone call, during your pregnancy, have you used cigarettes, drugs, or alcohol? If any of those are yes, we ask how much and when, again, to gather as much information as we can. Then, when they fill the paperwork out, usually a few days later, they're asked those same questions again. So we already have a double check. If suddenly something shows up on the paperwork that is different than they told us, well, we have something to talk about. Also, as part of standard prenatal care, if a medical professional suspects drug use, they can test that patient as part of the prenatal care. We don't routinely request drug tests unless an adoptive family wants it. Our team is pretty good at evaluating if a birth mother is using by signs of her her behavior. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I worked with a woman who she would call about 2 in the morning. She was sounded just like I did, talking to you. And I heard a horn honk, and I'm like, "Well, where are you?" "Oh, I'm out on a street corner here at a payphone." I'm thinking, "Well, you know, here you woke me up from a dead sleep, but you're fine out on a payphone." Then when we called her, you know, at noon the next day, she was passed out, dead to the world, couldn't communicate. So it was pretty obvious that probably some drug use was going on. And as we gathered information, yeah, we were able to confirm that. So, like I say, we can, if we have reason to believe, we may recommend that you request it, which we'll do for you on your behalf. But usually that shows up. It's pretty rare that we're surprised with drug use. Sometimes the surprises often come with sudden or last-minute situations where a woman calls from the hospital and wants to make a sudden adoption plan. Those probably are more than likely to have some drug exposure.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too. In the inner workings of planning adoptions with birth moms, as we work with her, we want her to understand why it's important that we have the correct information about everything that's been happening in her pregnancy. Most birth moms agree they don't want to end up matched with the wrong family and have to pick a family all over again.
Right.
So most birth moms do have a self-motivator, a motivating factor as to why they want to be open with us. And I think part of the reason why also we hardly ever have surprises when it comes to substances is that we don't have a judgmental environment here. You know,
right.
It's a compassionate, accepting, you know, it's not that we're condoning it or encouraging it, certainly not. And if you have a yes to substances, that doesn't mean you're hoping for that either. You're just saying that's not a deal breaker for you. But we just want them to feel comfortable telling us the truth of what's happening, and we'll encourage her and make suggestions for healthy behaviors, of course. But are we going to say no to a birth mom and not help her because she's using substances? Certainly not. We're just glad she's reaching out for help. And this baby, should she end up choosing adoption, will have that opportunity to be placed into a healthy, stable environment through the adoption this birth mom is choosing. And that also brings up another point. It's that, I mean, I know, Heather, you've shared this a lot too. Most birth moms that we work with aren't really heavy into substances. Anyway.
Right, because usually the women who we're working with, you know, it's an effort to call and answer the questions and receive the paperwork and fill out the forms and send them back. I mean, those things all take effort. And the women who are heavy drug users, for instance, heavy heroin users, those are women who don't necessarily have the active capacity to make a plan and follow it. Like the women we're working with. Those are typically the babies that you're going to find in available through the foster care system. There's lots of waiting families for newborns, and they're usually heavily drug exposed. So that's kind of where the heavy drug use is. The other thing that we're talking about in these conversations where we're asking about their substance use is, you know, you have to keep in mind, we're asking a lot of personal questions. We're asking about who they've been having sexual intercourse with that might have fathered this baby. And many times it's more than one guy. We're asking if they have any mental illness. We're asking if they have any, you know, physical diagnoses, disabilities, you know, any sexually transmitted diseases. We're asking a lot of invasive questions, and our program has been structured such that, you know, you want to try to ask the easy questions first and build up to the more difficult ones, because you're building rapport, you're building trust, and with rapport and trust usually comes honesty. So there's a greater design, like Kim said earlier, there's a reason to what we do. And this is another example of things have been set up for success after, trial and error and finding the best method. And the way we do it and screen birth mothers, that is one of Lifetime's big strengths is the screening of birth mothers.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to adoptive parents setting up their preferences, I know this can be difficult when, it's hard sometimes for adoptive parents to even imagine using substances. Mm-hmm. And their first response to being asked that the very first time, are you open to a birth mom who has smoked during pregnancy? Are you open to a birth mom who has used alcohol during pregnancy? The first thing they might think and their initial response is just like, no, I would never want that. I wouldn't want to adopt from someone who's doing that. Mm-hmm. What should we be looking at and how should we be formulating our preference for substances? Mm-hmm. What would you suggest if someone's having that initial kind of reaction, especially after really doing everything possible to try and have a healthy biological baby?
Right. And first off, I would encourage people to read and learn. And that means reading and learning from other adoptive parents. Look mm-hmm. up, hear other people's stories. I know we've done some webinars like this with families who have adopted children who have been exposed to different substances. And be sure as you're doing your research, you're looking at similar situations, meaning don't consider the story of a child adopted from an orphanage in Bulgaria who had fetal alcohol syndrome. If you're trying to learn about alcohol exposure, because that child had a lot more trauma and neglect in those years in an orphanage probably than the fetal alcohol syndrome it caused. So mm-hmm. so be sure you're comparing apples to apples as you're doing your research in that regard. The other thing is to understand this. Birth mothers are not sitting where you and I are today. Some of them are. Some of them are in college. Some of them are working. But by and large, life is not great. They're struggling. They're probably on state or government assistance. They probably have other children. They may have lost those children. They may be struggling to parent those children. Mom or grandma may have those children. Usually there's not a consistent male role model involved in the children's life, and there's not a good guy in the birth mother's life. If everything were going good in her life, she wouldn't be looking at adoption. So you kind of have to have that understanding as your baseline. It's not the same now as it was 50 years ago when adoptions were closed and they were teenagers often who made a mistake and got pregnant. It's not the sweet 16-year-old who goes to church on Sunday who she and her boyfriend, made a mistake. That's not who's placing babies for adoption so much today. Today it's women in their 20s who are struggling, who may have made bad choices, who are trying to do something better for this baby and are choosing adoption even though everyone in their life is probably telling them not to. Those sweet teenagers who make mistakes, they're the ones who can take their babies to school because there's free daycare. The state mm-hmm. gives their parents money to keep them home and housed and fed. They can watch shows like 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom and see, good examples, or maybe not so good examples, but see other teen moms like them. It's just like I say, it's not the same. Today's women are not being forced and shamed into choosing adoption. They're choosing adoption even though it is the hardest choice to choose. So, again, keeping that in mind, is adoption's not going to be possible if everyone's in a great situation and they don't have to struggle with a nicotine addiction. They don't have to struggle with maybe they partied 3 months before they figured out they were pregnant. Those are kind of the things you have to keep in mind. Not to say that, probably 50% of our adoptions are no substance use at all, or limited substance use. But in regards to families' preferences, the more open you are, the more opportunity you're going to have to be chosen, just because more women are going to see you. The more limited you are, especially if you're limited in multiple areas, such as race and substances and age, the more limited you are, the fewer opportunities you're going to have to be chosen. So it's just one of those things to, like I said, getting back to substances, keep in mind and realize that the more you learn, the better equipped you'll be, and the more open you may be into considering a child whose mother may have used substances. One of the best things to know and understand is that one of the best protected places is in a mother's womb. The baby will steal resources from the mother. The baby, you know, anything that gets to the baby is filtered is not a great word, but it is filtered. For instance, I had one family many years ago who said that they weren't open to cigarettes. They were open to alcohol, but they weren't open to cigarettes. And I asked, well, share with me why you're not open to cigarettes. Well, you know, we're very concerned that the baby's going to come out addicted to cigarettes. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, the risks of cigarette exposure have to do with low birth weight. So, you know, they learned more about that and they opened up. But they kind of went by, okay, what are the effects of cigarettes on an adult like me, not a baby in utero? So, like I say, definitely spend some time researching.
Yeah, I've heard that the body will serve the baby first, and that is why oftentimes it takes women, like nutritionally and everything, about a year to recover from a pregnancy.
Yeah, it
to
does.
Replenish their body. Yeah.
And one of the other things, Kim, that's good to keep in mind, whether you have a biological child through pregnancy, or you adopt, or you have a donor, or whatever you do, there's no guarantees. You know, I myself was pregnant. I've been pregnant twice. I have two teenage boys. One of them has nothing wrong with him. The other one was born with a lot of funky, strange things wrong with him. You know, I never used substances while I was pregnant. You know, it's nothing that I did. It's just things happen. You know, your child could be diagnosed as a diabetic at 10, could be diagnosed with leukemia, could be, you know, the list goes on and on. So keep in mind, while this is something you can control in regards to your preferences, there's a lot more out there that you can't control. And it's just, you know, you have to be prepared as a parent that, you know, life's not perfect. And, you know, you may be blessed with a child who is healthy and there's not a thing in the world wrong with him. And, you know, you may be blessed with that freckle-faced redhead that needs glasses, braces, and braces on her legs, too. So it's just, you know, it's just good to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. We're not laughing at redheads. Heather is a redhead. You can't see that, but she is the freckled, redheaded, leg brace, braces,
exactly,
glasses wearing person she speaks of.
That was me. So yes, I am the last one to make fun of that, but I definitely can poke fun at myself.
Yeah, definitely. So we have comments coming in really thanking you for your comments and insights about substance exposure, that it's really helping people to kind of rethink their stance on that. And we are certainly happy to explore further. Some of these things, when you set up your preferences, it requires more of a description. So if you say yes to alcohol, that doesn't mean yes to every type of alcohol exposure. You might just say yes for alcohol as long as the baby is healthy and there's no fetal alcohol syndrome. You might even limit it further than that. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, but you can work with your coordinator to create a description that you know you're going to be on board with. That birth mom who is then enabled to choose you, you'll be able to move forward with that adoption and accept being chosen by her with peace in your heart, because you've already thought out the majority of these tough decisions in the very beginning of planning your adoption with Lifetime.
That's right, Kim. And I do want to mention one other thing that's really important, and that is being able to say yes. You know, birth mothers are coming to us looking for families who are ready to adopt. And one of the most important things families who are waiting can do is be prepared to say yes, knowing that you're never going to have every question answered. You can ask them, but you know what? You may never get all of the answers. Examples may be, you know, birth father's medical records. Well, guess what? Most guys don't go to the doctor unless they have something wrong with them. And even then, that's not something we can routinely request. You may be waiting for answers to a long list of questions. You may be waiting, you know, that you're praying on it and you need God to speak and you're not hearing His voice. You, whatever it is that's holding you back from making a definitive decision, you need to say yes or no. That is the one of the easiest ways to take an adoption that looks really good and flip it upside down. When a birth mother chooses you and you have your first conversation, unless there are significant concerns, you really need to be able to say yes within a short period of time. Now, what are serious concerns? Serious concerns might be legal issues, like maybe she's not sure if the birth father is going to say yes. Well, let's get him on the phone and ask him. There may be concerns that she's in a state that's too expensive, because there's one or two states that are very expensive. You need to decide within 24 hours if you can commit to her. Birth mothers are looking for a commitment from you. I mean, hey, I get it. Adoptive parents are looking for a commitment from birth parents. I know that. But you have to understand too that she's looking for a commitment from you. She's looking to place the most valuable thing any of us have in this life, her child. She is going to place this child in your arms, in your family, in your home, and trust that for the rest of your lives, you will guard this child like it is the very precious gift she's giving you. So as you're looking at your preferences, as you're considering what you're open to, you know, you need to know that, okay, if we're presented with something, we have to be ready to say yes. And one of the biggest things, Kim, that I've seen when I've worked with families is sometimes we're holding something so tightly in our hands, like the image of the perfect situation, or a hope that even though we're doing all this, we'll still get pregnant, or whatever it is, we're holding something so tightly that we don't have hands that are open to accept. So I would really encourage you to ensure that you and your spouse, if you're married, are ready to say yes, because that's, like I say, that's one of the things that trips up more adoptions than anything else is a lack of commitment, or coming up with questions after questions after questions. You know, like I say, birth mothers are, they're just as scared, they're just as worried in this process as you are, and they're looking for a commitment from you, just like you're looking for a commitment from them. All of us with the understanding that adoption is a matter of the heart, and it isn't easy on any side. It may fluctuate, but you need to be ready to, if you have someone interested in you, ready to say yes.
Great words. I'm like speechless. Great words. You know, Heather, you and I see a lot of the things, Libby too. We all here, you know, at Lifetime, we see a lot of things behind the scenes. So the passion that you're speaking with is born out of reality.
It
Seeing
is.
people come this far to the cusp of having that baby in their arms and turn it down for reasons that just don't seem logical at all.
Well, let me give you a couple examples of this, Kim. We had a family that had agreed to match with someone who was placing a sibling group of two young children. And they had talked, everything looked good, it was great. And then they found out that the mother had died. She had died, and it was a single father placing these two young children. And he wanted a visit once a year. And the family found out that he had been arrested, never charged, just arrested, for domestic abuse. Basically, he and his wife, who, like I say, was a heroin addict, had gotten into it, and she had gotten mad, called the police, and had him arrested. They backed out of the adoption, and they said, "We can't do this. We don't want a man who's violent." Well, you get together once a year with a man who's this single dad who's been parenting these kids while his wife's been running all over the place, addicted to heroin, not at home. He was the parent. And you're going to turn these kids down because you can't meet for 2 hours once a year in a public park with their dad, who he had custody. The kids had never been removed. There'd never been a report to Child Protective Services. There was nothing like that. But they backed out because of that. And the dad felt such rejection that, I mean, he was in tears when our coordinator called him to tell him this. And he made the decision, you know what, I don't know that any adoptive parent can love my kids like I can if that's what we're looking at, so I will just continue to parent them. So he totally changed his mind based on that rejection. I'm not saying that I expect adoptive parents should move forward when they feel uncomfortable, but these are types of issues that you can't necessarily foresee or control. We've had adoptive parents back out because, like I mentioned before, they couldn't get a birth father's medical records. We've had, I think one of the funniest, although it's not funny, ha-ha, it was funny because as the adoptive mother was telling me this, I was, my jaw dropped. I didn't know what to say. She told me she was not going to adopt this baby because she didn't like the city that the birth mother was going to deliver in. And I was just floored. She said, well, that would be like me asking you to drive to Compton and pick up a baby. Well, I would have no problem driving to a hospital in Compton. If I was going by myself, I might, you know, have someone with me. I don't think I would. It's a hospital. They have security guards. Park my car, walk in, get my baby, put it in the car, and then drive to a different part of Los Angeles. It's not that your baby's coming from Compton. I mean, it's not a whole straight out of Compton thing. It's, I was floored. I didn't know, and so, you know, that's, we're left calling the birth mother and saying, well, you know, it's not going to work out. Can you look at another family? So, you know, you have things you can control, you have things you can't control. And being successful in adoption is, like I say, understanding that there's things you can't control. And that is part of the price of becoming a parent. And let me tell you, like I told you, as a mom with teenage boys, the earlier you learn that lesson about things you can't control, the better. Because if you're not ready then, let me tell you, you'll be ready when they're teenagers, because it happens. It just does.
So speaking of birth moms, we have a few questions about the part of our website that shares about birth moms. Can you share a little bit more about the purpose or, like, how families are to utilize that information?
Sure. Those are birth mothers we're working with. Once they're matched, we take them off of that. Once they've told us they no longer wish to work with us or work on an adoption plan, it's really more accurate, we take them down. We do not put all the birth mothers we're working with up there. We do not put women up there that match very quickly. We do not put women up there that ask not to be. It is literally the last thing on our list. It's not a listing that's super important to us here. It really is to give, it's for a few reasons. Number one, we've had a lot of birth mothers say to us, it's so nice to see women on that listing who are also calling. It makes me feel like I'm not the only one. Because it takes a lot to pick up that phone and call. It takes a lot to send an email or to go to our live chat and say, yeah, I'm pregnant and I need to consider adoption. So on the birth mother side, they get a lot of reassurance that they're not the only one. On the adoptive parent side, adoptive parents can see some of the situations we're working with. It gives you an idea of with what you're seeking if we're going to be a good fit. A good example, I had a family call, this has been several years ago, and they said, I've been watching your birth mother listings for 5 years. And I said, oh, well, have you ever applied? No, because we never saw a birth mother that matched what we wanted until today. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably not a, they were so excited they were going to fill out their application for this one birth mother who matched what they wanted. And it just doesn't work that way. You want to see definitely more than one birth mother who looks like a situation you'd be interested in. Because, again, the more we can present you, the more opportunity you have to be chosen. If anyone's interested what that situation was, it was South Pacific mixed with, I think, Asian. It was very, they weren't looking for Asian, they weren't looking for South Pacific, like Pacific Islander. They wanted that mix because that's what they were. And so it's, and that's very rare. It's very rare that Asians, we get Asian birth mothers. But it's just, it's, that's kind of, those are the purposes it serves. But it definitely lets families know. We do tell families who are contracted and waiting with us, don't watch those listings. Don't send in numbers that you're interested in, because by the time they are listed on the website, your profile, if your preferences match hers and yours and hers match yours, your profile has already been sent out to her for consideration. We've actually, Kim, we've had families say, I didn't see the button where I could add one to my shopping cart.
Yes, that is very interesting.
It's not there. It doesn't work that way either.
I mean, and I understand. We are used to ordering everything. We are used to having control over everything. We're used to having in our pocket a magical little thing called a cell phone that has internet that we can do whatever we want with a swipe of our finger. We don't even have to push a button anymore, practically.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really shouldn't surprise us when someone thinks that's how adoptions are done.
Right.
And they don't realize, just like any of us doing anything in life, we don't know what we don't know. So that's why it comes down to having an adoption professional who can help enlighten you and be gentle with you and sensitive with you to help you understand. Now, not too much. If you're just being, you know, having, you know, you're just really playing it up, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, hey, if you have a serious question, ask us. We're going to take that question seriously and let you understand what we see here at Lifetime. And you might have a question that seems odd to you or odd to your adoption professional, but that's okay. It's better to just get that answered. That's why we have these webinars. We have about 10 minutes remaining in our webinar, so I just want to take a few minutes to go over some basic information. If you are new to Lifetime and want to be considered for our program or at least explore further, get more information, reach out to us. The very first step is to fill out the application on our website, which is lifetimeadoption.com/apply. Free application online, like we said in the beginning of the conference or the webinar today. Also, you can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/open.adoption. You can call in and talk with us one-on-one and get more questions answered, and you know, we can send you more information via email. The number is 1-800-923-6784, and the email is adopt@lifetimeadoption.com. There are also places on our website where you can submit an inquiry and request information without really filling out the application yet. If you want to be a little, take it a little more slowly, that's fine. Really, we won't be able to give you a lot of answers until you do fill out the application, though, so just have that healthy expectation. But let's spend a few more minutes, Heather, answering a few more questions now that we've taken care of some of those details for how families can reach us. And of course, if you have a coordinator already, she's definitely eager to answer your questions and assist you with anything that you need. But let's answer a few more questions. Let's see here. Someone had asked, I need to scroll up, but someone had asked about twins. Is it easier to adopt twins?
You know, it sure sounds like it would be easier because families would only have to adopt one time, theoretically, if they wanted two children. So it seems like it would be, but that's the mindset of every adoptive parent who's adopting, for the most part. There are a few families that aren't open to twins, but, you know, you have to think about it. Think about how many natural twins you know in your life. Natural, you know, we're seeing more multiples now, but that's because of fertility meds. Clomid, things like that, those result in more twins. So is it easier? In fact, I remember we had one family at a webinar a few years ago that they thought being open to twins made them really unique. But the reality is most adoptive parents are open to twins. So mm-hmm. it's not easier. Now and then we have families that want a limit to twins only, and we strongly discourage that because, again, most adoptive parents are open to that, so it's not something that makes you unique. And usually the follow-up question is, well, what about triplets? Same thing. Adoptive parents, especially couples who are infertile, would be excited. I mean, everyone would be excited for twins or triplets. So it is definitely not easier. It is definitely more difficult. And I would not, I would, it's kind of like having twins biologically. If you're not doing Clomid or IVF or anything where you have any control, you know, you can't really try to get pregnant just for twins naturally. It doesn't work that way. So I would not say, I would say no, it's not easier. In fact, it's much more difficult if you wanted to limit your adoption to twins.
Yes, because you're limiting yourself to the exception rather than the norm, which is a single baby. Speaking of the norm, we've had a family ask, it was along the lines of, hey, is it easier for us to adopt if we're really just focusing in on a child that's already born? You know, we know everybody is looking for a newborn. Would it be easier if we just look for a child that's already born, an older child? I mean, we're happy either way.
Well, here's the thing. You have to understand that in Lifetime's program, the more open your preferences, the better. The majority of Lifetime's adoptions are newborn adoptions. But with that said, this month we will have four adoptions completed of older children. So it kind of ebbs and flows. So the more open you are to considering, the better. The children who were finalized with Lifetime this month, I think one was 3, one just turned 4. You know, they're still in that young phase. We're not talking 10-year-olds. They're all under 5. But it doesn't necessarily make it easier. It just gives you more opportunities to be shown and more opportunities to be presented. Now, if you are open to an older child, you know, by older I mean, you know, 10 and up, those are usually not very available through Lifetime now and then, but really the upper end we get is probably around 8. The benefit of those children adopted through Lifetime versus through like the foster system is with Lifetime, again, we're working directly with the birth parents. So most of these children, or all of these children essentially, have been living with a birth mother or perhaps their birth grandmother or relative. So it's not like they've been in foster care or bounced from stranger to stranger. So you mm-hmm. have a more consistent history and probably a much more consistent bonding throughout their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times adoptive parents worry about how old to go with their preferences because they worry about the baby being able to, the child being able to bond with them, or behaviors that it will be really challenging to undo. So we've actually not seen those kinds of challenges with our adoptions that I'm aware of.
No, we really haven't. And again, it's because these are a lot of the older children you see adopted internationally who have been in orphanages are diagnosed with something called reactive attachment disorder or any other type of attachment disorder. And that's because they haven't ever really learned the bonding process because they've been institutionalized. So that's where you really see a lot of those challenges and difficulties. And unfortunately, we are contacted multiple times a month by adoptive parents who adopted those children overseas, and they are just overwhelmed and they want to place the child with another family.
I can imagine if a family was adopting after infertility and this is how they'll become mom and dad, that is so difficult, just on top of the day-to-day challenges of parenting that child who has these special needs or behaviors. That on top of all of the day-to-day dealings in their heart, they just wanted to become mom and dad, and they're finding themselves more there to meet that child's needs, more so than that child is going to be able to meet the need they have to bond with a child.
Right, and that is, that's one of the, I think that's one of the things across the board, Kim. You see it much more international. But that's a good place just to touch on briefly for Lifetime, families who are considering Lifetime, is it's really good to keep a healthy expectation of adoption. A lot of times parents go into pregnancy, especially after infertility or adoption, you know, with the goal of this baby, this child, this will complete, you know, my goals, my needs, my desires, it'll fill my heart up. You know, you have, and these are usually couples who haven't been parents before, but the understanding that it's not easy, even once you get there. You know, you look at new moms, and usually they're exhausted from delivery and a baby that won't sleep. So it's good to have those healthy expectations that we're going to get this baby and life's going to be perfect. It doesn't work that way. Yes, you're gonna be parents, you're gonna have a child, things are going to be totally new and different. And they'll never go back to how they were before. But you know, you wanna be sure that you have goals past that, you have plans past that. You're educating yourself now to deal with those challenges, because every now and then we get adoptive parents who call us and they're just emotionally worn out because they were expecting all of these great feelings of being loved from the child, and it's not, you know, especially a baby's, they take, they don't give. And there is something very real called post-adoption depression. It's very similar to postpartum depression. And a lot of it is that expectation of perfection and bliss and all of those beautiful Victorian greeting cards that show the mother and the beautifully dressed baby, when reality is that, you know, you had to change your baby three times because, you know, the diapers kept exploding and then he spit up on everything. And how on earth did they ever take those pictures, let alone paint them, because it's not reality. So it's just one of those things just to be aware of, that it's there, it exists, and plan for life afterwards. Plan for parenting. Start reading parenting books. It's never too early, especially if you've never had a lot of experience babysitting, especially if your husbands have never been around babies much. Those are good things for you to prepare at any stage.
Definitely. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight in our Q&A webinar, answered a lot of great questions. Still, there are questions that are going unanswered this evening, unfortunately, just due to time constraints. If you are someone here at the webinar tonight that you have a question that you've typed in, it's on your mind, take that question and email it to us. Email it to adopt@lifetimeadoption.com or send it to your coordinator. Or hey, you can send it to me if you don't know anybody. Kim, K-I-M, at lifetimeadoption.com. Hey, why not? Let's be generous. But we certainly appreciate all of you and your contributions and your feedback and your questions, these very thoughtful questions, these very important questions as you seek to become the most informed adoptive parents you can possibly be, and yet discern when to take those steps forward. And we can help you with that. Just let us know how things are going with you and what your needs are and what your questions are, and we'll walk you through it. We're known for our step-by-step guidance here at Lifetime, and it's been our pleasure to answer these questions for you. So I hope tonight you are encouraged, you learned something new, you had a little giggle with us. We've enjoyed spending our time with you, and we really appreciate you reaching out to us here at Lifetime Adoption.